Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood, which purchases a people. And thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of that people, your church. And so I pray tonight, in these next 20 minutes, I pray that these next 20 minutes would be revolutionary for some of my new friends here. I pray that we would hear your word and that we would be different tonight because of it. And I thank you that your word has the power to change us, and I pray that we would be altered by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you guys about why do we need the church? I mean, we're all here at a church. If you think you're not at a church, you're confused, but I assume if you're here, you think you are at a facility that is a church in some way. I want to read to you a little blog excerpt from a guy named Donald Miller. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but that's besides the point. I just want to read this to you, and as I'm reading this, I want you to think about, is this accurate? Is what this person's saying true? So let me read this to you. Listen and see what you think. He writes, "I have a confession. I don't connect with God by singing to him. Not at all. I know I'm nearly alone in this, but it's true. I was finally able to admit it recently when I attended a church service that had, perhaps, the most talented worship team I'd ever heard. I loved the music. But I loved it more for the music than the worship. As far as connecting with God goes, I wasn't feeling much of anything. I used to feel guilty about this, but to be honest, I experience intimacy with God that's strong and healthy. It's just I don't experience this intimacy in a traditional worship service. In fact, I can count on one hand the number of sermons I actually remember. So to be brutally honest, I don't learn much about God by hearing a sermon. And I don't connect with him by singing songs to him. So," and this is one of the most fascinating statements out of this whole paragraph, "so like most men, a traditional church service can be somewhat difficult and long to get through. I'm fine with this, though. I've studied psychology and educational reform long enough to know that a traditional lecture isn't for everyone. There's an entire demographic of people that have to learn by doing, not by hearing. So you can lecture to them all day long and they're simply not going to get it." And then here's the last little paragraph. He asks the question, he says, "So, do I attend church? Not often, to be honest. Like I said, that's not how I learn. But I also believe the church is around us, not to be confined to a specific tribe. I worship God every day through my work. It's a blast." Now, that is a problematic view. That is problems. But is he right? Is church a waste? Why are we here? Well, you're listening to me. You don't know who I am. I could be anyone. You don't know who I am. I'm Sean. That's all you know. I'm going to talk to you about the Bible, but maybe hearing things like that's not your thing. Is it worth it? Is coming to this church worth it? Is Donald Miller right? I don't think he's right. In fact, I think the opposite is true. I think, and I'm going to argue, and I hope you're convinced, I think church is essential. Not just because we check it off on a box, not because it's the right thing to do, but I think your life and my life depend upon it. I think that this little cluster of people and then the larger cluster of people that gather on Sunday mornings, we're not going to go to heaven without them. That's a strong statement, and I hope to show you what I mean by that. I don't mean that you go to church and you get into heaven. But what I mean is church is not optional for the Christian. In fact, this text will read, says if you're not a part of a body of believers who speak the truth in love, you're drifting like a piece of wood. Drifting, driven, and tossed by the waves of the sea. So let's read the text, and I'll show you what I mean. Ephesians 4, look at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he, that's Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, or some translations say pastors. He gave them to, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is a one long sentence, basically, is what this is in this text. But I want to walk us through it, and we'll look at it. And I think this is completely contrary, completely against what was read by what I read at the beginning, what was read from Donald Miller. Look at verse 11. I'll show you a couple things. I just want to point out some observations. This is nothing special. I'm not doing anything that you can't do. You can look through the Bible and you can see these things I'm going to talk about. So look at verse 11. He gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers. Why? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Jesus thinks it's a good idea for Dan to stand up here and talk to you about the Bible. Jesus thinks it's a good idea for your pastor on Sunday morning to talk about the Bible. He thinks it's a good idea for you to listen. He thinks it's a good idea for thousands, not millions, of Christians all across the world to gather at a location and talk about the Bible. And he does this to equip... Look at verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So what that means is, Dan is not the biggest show in town. Basically, Dan is here as a servant to serve the body. The pastors, the youth pastors, aren't the ones that need to be doing all the work. It's the body. So he teaches to serve, to equip you, equip me. To equip people for the work of the ministry. Now, what's fascinating here is that in the quote by Donald Miller, he says, hey, you know what? It's just not how I learn. I just don't learn by listening. I don't learn that way. It's not for me. Maybe for you, not for me. And what's fascinating about that is if maybe you know this as you read through the Bible, in the book of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 8, you have the people, they find the book of the law. They find the Torah, that's the first five books in the Bible, and they read it, and they stand on their feet from morning to noon, weeping. And they're weeping because God is speaking to them. And they're weeping over the book of Leviticus. That's in the Torah. They're reading through the Torah, and they're reading Leviticus, and they're not falling asleep, and they're weeping. That is remarkably different than, it's not for me. It's for you, not for me. Why is that different? Their hearts were inflamed by the Word of God. They had their lives staked in the ground to truth. That's what this passage is about. Do you want to be drifting? Do you want to be floating around, not in control of where you're going? Church is optional. But if you want to be grounded, if you want to have something to live for, then what we're doing here is important. And look at this. Look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, those are simple things. You know, if we took a poll here, you'd probably go, oh yeah, we should have faith. Oh yeah, we should have knowledge of God. I want to ask you, are you gripped by those two simple things? The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God? I bet my life. I'd bet everything I own, which isn't that much. I'd bet everything I own that if you put a stake in the ground, you put your flag down on that hill, your life would count for something. You know, he talks about being built up. Does it keep you up at night? Does it keep you up at night about these two realities? The unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Do you think and wield and craft and brainstorm about how you can make your life more grounded in the knowledge of God and to be built up in the faith? Do you plan about how you can get other people to be involved in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God? Or are you just, I'm here, I'm drifting, I'm floating. You know, I'm here in a church building, but I'm not engaged. I think it's also interesting here that he says we need the church. Look at verse 13. We need the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. He says, you need the church for mature manhood, in the spiritual maturity. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be spiritually mature? Maybe not. I hope so. I'm convinced that you can be growing and pursuing spiritual maturity in middle school, in high school. Do you want to be a baby spiritually, or an infant spiritually? Or do you want to be mature in the faith? You know what? When you think about babies and you think about infants and you think about men and women, adults, babies, well, they drool on themselves, you know? They drool on themselves and they roll around. They just roll or crawl. Men don't do that. At least I hope not. maybe Dan does when no one's around. Men, they walk with purpose. They talk with intention. Babies have to be carried places. Men decide where they want to go. Babies, they cry and they whine and they scream and they complain when things don't go their way. Men roll up their sleeves, take responsibility, and figure out how to fix it if something doesn't go the way it should. Babies, the spiritual babies, stay up all night eating pizza and chasing the cutest girl and trying to be the most popular in their class. Spiritual babies live for what they can see, what they can touch. Spiritual men live for what lasts, for a legacy, for eternity. Spiritual men take responsibility, are disciplined, want to build something, want to leave something behind. Spiritual babies are self-centered. Men are selfless. Where do you fall in the line? Are you playing in the sandbox, just having fun? Or do you want to stake your life on something that lasts? And here's the deal. Look at verse 14. Why is this so important? Why am I talking to you about this? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about. Whoa, that's for effect. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, and look, this, the whole passage turns on this. If you remember nothing else I say, just remember this is really important. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Okay. You have a picture of someone drifting. And the comparison to that is speaking the truth in love. That's interesting. Those two things, drifting, speaking truth in love, they don't seem to go together. Think about this. Donald Miller, the guy that I read the quote from earlier. I bet if we were to follow him around, and I don't know him, I pray that he repents and I pray that he changes the way he's thinking. But I bet if we were to follow him around, I don't think he woke up one day and was like, I don't like this song. In fact, this song doesn't move me about God. And my heart's cold and I don't like it. And you know what? The next week at church, I don't think he woke up and was like, you know what? I don't like this sermon. It's not doing anything for me. And then the next week he's like, oh, I'm writing a blog. I'm telling everyone I'm leaving the church. I don't think it happened like that. I think it happened over a slow, gradual drift. I think maybe one day at a church service, he was like, I'm not feeling it. But that's about it. That's all he felt. Maybe the next week, it's the same. Nothing's changed. Just not getting me going. And then over a month, several months, a year, a sermon starts to get a little dull. It's like, I don't care about the sermon. Who's this guy talking to me anyway? What does he know? And then over another 6 months, he's like, you know what? I don't even want to read my Bible. This doesn't excite me. Nothing excites me. I don't understand why people are moved by this. And then eventually it's a slow drift. And you know what the solution to that would be? The solution to that would be if someone loved Donald Miller and talked to him and said, brother, how's your heart? Brother, how's your walk with the Lord? Brother, are you fighting sin? Are you putting temptation to death? Brother, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you? The solution to drifting is speaking the truth in love. The way to not drift into hell is to have people that love you and talk to you. That's remarkable. That means my life, my spiritual life, depends on people like you. My spiritual life depends on someone saying, "Hey, Sean, how are you doing?" My life, my love for the Lord, in some measure, is affected by the church. In fact, I'm not just saying that. That's what Paul says. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And that's what goes back to the first verse where it talks about equipping. So he's saying, I'm held together by people who are equipped by the pastors, shepherds, teachers, and leaders. I'm held together by the church. And when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Why do we need the church? We need the church so that we will remain in truth. And so that we'll experience love. Love doesn't happen in isolation. No one goes alone and they're like, "Oh man, I just love me. I'm just going to only tell me. And I'm not going to talk to anyone but me. And I don't need anyone but me because I love me." No one's like that. It's not love. God doesn't even do that. God's a Trinity. We believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's a community in God. God's not even isolated. Why should we be isolated? Why do we need the church? We need the church to remain in the truth and to know love. Do you love the church? Do you love the person sitting next to you? Do you care about them? Is your heart brimming over with love for them so much so that if they started to wander, that you would say, "Hey man, brother, sister, how are you doing? Are you loving the Lord?" I don't know what the application is for you particular, but maybe some of you need to have hard conversations with people after this. Conversations that are true and loving. Maybe no one knows where you're at spiritually. Maybe no one has any idea what you're dealing with inside. And maybe you need to grab Dan. Maybe you need to grab someone and say, "Speak truth in my life right now. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to throw my life away. I need the body. I need the church." You know, church isn't for everyone. Church is only for people who are willing to confess Christ as Lord. You know, church isn't a club. Church isn't just a fun thing. Church isn't just something you do or to check off a box. Church is essential to life. It's essential to your spiritual growth. And it's essential to know God. Church isn't for everyone. It's only for people who trust in Christ. But I pray church is for you. I pray that you would trust in Christ if you've not done so already. And if you are trusting in Christ, I pray that you would grow in maturity, speaking the truth in love to one another. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have purchased your bride, the church, with your blood. And I pray, I don't know people in the room here, but I pray that maybe someone's here and they don't know you. They've not confessed you as Lord. And they got a whole bunch of problems in their life and no one knows about it. And I pray that they would find someone and talk to them about it tonight. And I pray for the others who are like, "Yes, I want my flag to be on the hill of the Bible, of knowing God and maturing and uniting in the faith." I pray that you would give them much grace to grow and to speak the truth in love to people in this room. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your bride, the church. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.